Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And the royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" Then he said, "Behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp, just as it was, and fled for their life. When these lepers came out to came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank, and carried from there silver and golden clothes, and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent, and carried there from there also, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Arameans, and behold, there was no one there, nor the voice of man, only the horses tied, and the donkeys tied, and the tents just as they were." And the gatekeepers called and told it within the king's household. Then the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "I will now tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone from the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall capture them alive and get into the city.'" And one of his servants answered and said, "Please, let some men take five of the horses which remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who are left in it. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who have already perished. So let us send and see." They took therefore two chariots with horses, and the king sent after the army of the Arameans, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them to the Jordan, and behold, all the way was full of clothes and equipment, which the Arameans had thrown away in their haste. Then the messengers returned and told the king. So the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. Then a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king appointed the royal officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, but the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. And it came about just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, "Two measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel should be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria." Then the royal officer answered the man of God and said, "Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be?" And he said, "Behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." And so it happened to him, for the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died. Amen. So this is continuing on from the chapter before. So if you remember the chapter before, there's a huge famine. The army of the Arameans have surrounded the Israelites, or northern kingdom, the Jews here, the king of Israel. And they have cut off all the water sources. They've cut off all the food sources. They're dying. So much so, remember yesterday, they actually boiled each other's children, or tried to boil each other's. And it's a huge mess. So many people are dying. So remember, these guys come to Elijah. So we're just picking up the story again. So the soldiers, or the elders, are sitting with Elijah, or Elisha. And they're saying all these things are happening. And so Elisha now gives them the prophetic word. And he basically says that, man, by this time tomorrow, remember the dove's dung, or really what I mentioned yesterday was the urine. was sold for so much money. He says, tomorrow everything's going to be back to normal. In fact, it's going to be sold for a shekel. It was quite a small sum. And so he gives this word, but the attendant is the royal officer. And in this phrase, it says, the royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning. This literally means his right-hand man. And so this guy was like number one in charge, like prime minister or something to that effect. But he starts mocking, but he does two things. He mocks the man of God, but more so he mocks God himself. And he returns and says, behold, if, the key word, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? In other words, even God can't do this stuff. Like, what are you talking about? All right, this is beyond the scope of God himself. And so Elisha, offended, again, not offended by his ability to hear from God or being accused of that, but offended by putting God's name in vain in that regard, you know, lifting his name up to nothingness. Like, you can't really do anything. And so he says, yeah, it's going to happen, but you're not going to eat any of it. In other words, you're going to die. So keep that in mind. We touch back later on. And then next thing you know, four lepers. And remember, lepers are not really allowed to be in the city. And so they need to be on the outskirts or basically on the other side of the gate. So as you can tell by the conversation, they're not in the city. The camp of the Arameans, so they're in between the camp and in between the city. And they reason to themselves logically and they say, man, how does this work? If we go inside, we're going to die like everybody else. If we stay here, we're going to die. We might as well go to the enemy. The idea is maybe they will have mercy on us and feed us some food. So they make their way, as the sun's going down, and they recognize, oh my goodness, no one is here. And so remember in chapter 6, remember when a different Aramean army came to Elisha, and he tells his servant, remember, open his eyes. Now, what was that? There were chariots of horses and fire and all that. And now you know what those guys are doing. They went and smote this people. So they heard the sound of basically a rushing army, and they thought, oh man, the king has hired mercenary soldiers from different countries. And so they fled. And the lepers came in, and they ate. They took some gold, they hid it, went to another tent, ate some more. I mean, these guys were having a party, basically. And then their conscience, I would say the Holy Spirit started convicting them. And, I mean, look what he says. This day is a day of good news. We have the first instance where we talk about the gospel. This is a good news. This is a good proclamation that's happening here. And so we can't keep silent. And if we keep silent, we might get punished. It's going to be bad for us. We need to go tell the king of this good news. Now, this passage doesn't necessarily deal with evangelism, okay? So I'm just going to tell you off the bat. But I'm going to talk about evangelism for a moment because this passage is actually quite good. We have good news, and so we can't be silent. And if we are silent, it's not, now in this case, we're not going to be punished, but we'll lose a great reward for sure. And so we need to tell people about Christ. I mean, that's just a very easy illustration or easy kind of connection that we can make here. But again, that's not necessarily what this text is saying. So I want to be faithful to the text as well. And so they call the gatekeeper and tell the king. But back in ancient times, this was a common military strategy. That they would kind of, because they would seal the city off, which is very common, so they would be hungry, die, desperate, they would come out and surrender or anything else. And then sometimes they would hide and then ambush them when they came in. So they send soldiers off. And to give you an idea of how bad it is, in verse 13 it says, please let some men take 5 of the horses which remain. So in the whole kingdom, they only save 5 horses. What did they do with all the other hundreds of them? They ate them. Right, they're all gone. So only five are remaining now. And so you get an idea a little bit more of how bad this famine is. And I mean, if you didn't figure it out already from last chapter when they boiled each other's kids, then you probably won't get it at all if you don't get it from that. So they come, and it's just exactly how they said it was going to be. And they come out, and next thing you know, in the square, they bring all the food back. So this happens at night. They bring all the food back in the morning, and now business as usual. A flour is sold for a shekel. All grains are sold for 2 shekels, and all these things happen. But then remember that royal officer, that attendant? Remember he started mouthing off to the man of God and mouthing off about God himself? Well, he's sent out to basically take care of and probably bring the grain in, store it, sell it. You know, he's in charge of this whole project, but the people are so famished, they just trample him. You can imagine at the gate, he's trying to create order out of chaos, and the people are so hungry, they just trample him and he dies. And the word of the Lord, what Elisha said, comes true. Now, let's go back to this idea with the lepers and this thing happening. Notice something. God calls for a supernatural turn of events. It's supernatural in the sense that next thing you know, there's no food. People are dying. People are eating all kinds of wretched things. People are even performing cannibalism to get some relief. And so God is bringing an end, a supernatural end. But check this out. But he's using natural means. You have to think about that, okay? God is turning the tide supernaturally in a sense that before food was sold for an extravagant amount of money, now within 24 hours, everything is back to normal. It's a supernatural occurrence. But the means that he uses is totally natural. People are gone. Food is there. In the sense that maybe, let me try to explain. What I mean by this is that God could have just dropped food from heaven, right? He did it before, you know, with the Israelites in the wilderness. And he could have caused a wind to bring in a bunch of birds and they could have ate. That would have been quite supernatural. But he scares an army. They leave and food and produce and grains and everything are left there. It's nothing came from heaven necessarily, but it was a very natural means. He does something or he changes the course of reality supernaturally, but he uses natural methods. He uses an army that's scared away, and the food is there in that regard. And I think this should really speak to us in many ways. A lot of times when we're praying and asking God for something that pertains to our life, a lot of times we bypass the natural because we're always looking for the supernatural. But the reality is God is working supernaturally. He's changing the circumstances and he's changing direction. He's changing all sorts of things. But he many times uses natural means or natural methods. And I really get weary sometimes when I see believers totally bypass something that's kind of right in their face because they're looking for something that's kind of extraordinary. I mean, this is all extraordinary to begin with. You understand what I'm saying? But a lot of times God will do that. Like, I'll give you such an easy example, okay? And I see a lot of people that want to get married. Obviously, I mean, it's a huge thing in our age. And they want to get married. And God brings, like, nice guys or nice girls along their way. And they just totally don't see them at all. They don't see the natural. They just think that God's going to drop somebody from heaven. You know, Brad Pitt or Fabio. I mean, I don't know. Fabio's kind of gross, but you know what I mean. Just like some, you know, Christian supermodel is going to come and drop on my lap or something like that. I mean, it's just almost, I mean, it might happen in that way. But a lot of times God uses like eHarmony, you know, God uses, actually, I don't know any other dating websites. That's the only one I know. But sometimes very natural means, and to really, I mean, it is, if you think about it, it is quite supernatural that two people in this planet would find each other in that regard. But sometimes we totally bypass what's right in front of our face. Just like the Israelites, I mean, we actually don't know how long the army has been gone. We have no idea. They could actually have been gone for weeks. Who knows? You know what I mean? We have no idea. And so it could literally be sitting in our lap right there, right outside the gate, and have no idea because we're looking for thunder and these things. And I'm reminded of even Elijah. Remember Elijah sitting in the cave. And he could have totally missed God because he was looking for the thunder and the lightning and, you know, all these things. And that's what happened. He was in the cave, remember, and he comes out, and the thunder and lightning, and he comes out and says, "Oh, God, you must be there." And he says, no, he wasn't in there. He wasn't in any of those big phenomena. He was in the gentle wind. He was in the natural. The supernatural embodied the natural in that regard. And so, and this is what happens here. God does something supernaturally, but he uses natural means or natural methods to that end. That doesn't take away any of his power, because, I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know, to begin with. And so I don't want us to lose sight of simply what God is doing, you know, as a result of us looking beyond because we want something spectacular that happens. God is spectacular, but sometimes he's... Yeah, you know what it is? I mean, really honestly speaking, God is just stinking down to earth. You know what I mean? He's just so practical and down to earth in that regard. And so even, I remember, to be honest, even young before when I was a young Christian and I would read the Bible, and I was not taught this, but I just thought this was much more supernatural if I just flip through the pages and, you know, and then allow my spirit to see something. And then, whoa, this is amazing. You know, God spoke to me today. And I was so fixated on that method. But I realized, man, when I just simply read systematically and you know, just read out of the discipline, how much God also speaks in that regard. And so sometimes we get these, you know, methods confused a little bit. You know, going back to my dating illustration in that regard, you know, I mean, God, there's so many wonderful people around us, and we totally mistrack that. Or, you know, the idea is, no, something is just going to drop on my lap. It's going to be this supernatural thing, so I don't have to do anything. You know, like, I know this is extreme, okay, but I don't have to shower, you know, I don't have to, like, I don't have to get in shape. I don't have to be pleasant in any way. Do you remember when Pastor Brian, every time I think about laugh, he says, "You're just not pleasant," you know, in that regard. And so we don't have to do any of those kinds of things, and it's because he's just going to supernaturally drop. No, I think we have a part to play in it as well. The lepers had to take a step of faith and go out to the camp. The king had to take a step of faith and send some soldiers out to the camp. Had to meet God halfway in that regard, and then God moves. And he provides supernatural, I mean, the circumstance totally changed, but in a natural way. I'm not taking away anything from God's supernatural power whatsoever, but God works in so many different ways. I think sometimes the folly of the charismatic church is that we bypass some of those methods because we just want lightning to come down from heaven. But when we see the scriptures, remember, we see God's hand, overriding hand in all of history. Some of you guys have taken experience in God. God is always at work around us, and he's always active in doing things. Amen? So let's close our eyes. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Could you possibly be missing God in some way or missing out on God because you're expecting lightning from heaven when he's actually right there in the gentle whisper of the wind. It's just this calm little wind. Remember, the Lord told Elijah, and he spoke to him at that place. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the thunder. He wasn't in the lightning. He wasn't in the earthquake. He was in the gentle wind. Now, I wonder how many of us miss out on God because we're just waiting for the earthquake. But he's actually right here. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Let's pray. Let's really pray that God would open our eyes, truly open our eyes, that we would see the supernatural, but also we'd be open our eyes to all of God's activities around us. Like I said, sometimes God uses natural means to get a supernatural outcome. And so if you've been bypassing, maybe even the Lord, or bypassing that, because you think, oh no, that's too simple. No, remember, God is a practical God. He's a down-to-earth God. And let's pray that our eyes would be open and we'd recognize the activity of God in our life. Well, let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. You know, even chemo and these things, it could be a natural way of bringing supernatural healing. Particularly, I want to lift up Calvin. Calvin starts his first round of chemo today around 11, 12 o'clock. And so let's just lift him up and his family. But let's just pray for all our friends and family members that are battling right now. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling the illness, but more importantly, that needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for God's healing, but also the Lord will reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our community. They're battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China this morning. And let's pray for this country and that are really at the center of so many world events right now. Let's pray that they would rule righteously. Let's pray for our church there. Let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu and his family and the leaders, that they would just continue to grow and the Lord would protect them. And really so much grace would cover this community. Let's also pray for the Chung family as they try to figure out next steps in ministry for them. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents and their translation work. Pray for Edie Clark and for her health and her ministry and for the churches. And just the Holy Spirit would really breathe over this place. So let's lift up. Thank you. Let's lift up our board. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to just be with each of the leaders, and that they would just really operate in the wisdom of God and in character and integrity of the Lord. Pray for their families, that they would be covered and protected as they step out to the front lines. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, our men's ministry. Pray to cover the men's Monday prayer, the Pure Desire group, and the men's fraternity. Cover the women's ministry, Lift, and the discipleship group, and particularly both of the retreats coming up in November. Pray for the young adults and Yahweh Eats and their retreat that's coming in December. And for Springs, Love After Marriage class is going on right now. Let's pray the couples would really draw close to the Lord and to one another. Let's lift up our house churches meeting this week. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, House to House, Island, Lido, New Conduit, Robin Hood, and TST. Let's pray for the leaders to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that they would lead and guide their group into the presence of the Lord. Let's pray especially over our work time. There's a couple of important assignments this week that we would carry it out with much grace and insight. And I pray that we really connect with God and one another. Let's lift up our house church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, this morning. Lord, we are encouraged, Lord, by your text. We're encouraged by the stories, God. And Lord, we just pray, God, that we would learn and grow. Lord, help us not to miss out on all the activity of God, Lord, because we're looking for something spectacular, God. Lord, you're a practical, down-to-earth God, Lord, and you use all things, God. And so help us never to miss out on you, Lord. God, forgive us, God, when we, Lord, really all that we look for is a spectacular, Lord. And so just, Lord, we ask that you would move supernaturally, Lord, and we accept even your natural means, God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We love you. Watch over us today, God, especially be with our friends that are going through challenging times. Lord, empower them through the power of the Holy Spirit. We bless you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.